We are in the book of Revelation in the evening service. It was announced correctly. They are going to preach on chapter 6. But I got an email on Wednesday from one of my professors in Oxford saying that I should look again to chapter 5 and write something about due time. So I had to email him, and by the miracle of Skype, I was able to see him and see me and here in our office. And he suggested that I should glorify Jesus a little more and clarify and since I love chapter 5, he said you should use the occasion to show the splendor of his titles in this. And so I wrote something quickly, sent it back to him. He sent it back corrected, sent it back. You know, the good part is in Oxford is they don't want their own opinion, but they challenge you with their opinion. This is very good school of theology. Very rare to find in a school that challenge you what you believe. Once you prove, maybe they disagree, but then it's yours. And I was able to then work in chapter 5 and complete it. Now, just to review a little bit, chapter 5 of Revelation, verses 1 to 7, the seven seals book was opened, remember? And it was the title deed of our redemption. Let me read verses 1 to 3 for you. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, a seal with seven seals. Verse 2, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And we deal in details on these. And then verse 3, and no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. So it was the due time. That's what the University of Oxford called this. In other words, this is the time of redemption is coming. The final redemption of the believers is going to be complete. And they call it due time because it's in the hands of the Lord. We don't know when it's going to happen. And that's what they explained to me. And so I don't mind to call it a due time. God said, all right, we want to complete redemption. Who's going to open the book? In verse 3, it said that there was no one qualifying to open the books of redemption. So the law, remember the law in the Old Testament, provides a kinsman, and he may redeem the lost possession. We dealt in Leviticus 25, 23 to 34. You can review that writing in your home. And the book of Leviticus said if somebody lost something, then there is a redeemer that can buy this back, especially on the family relationship. Now, in Revelation 5, the king is Jesus Christ, all right? And from this moment on, he is going to proceed to redeem because he paid the price of redemption. And I'd like to review this once again. If you go to the left to the book of Hebrews in chapter 9 and in verse 27, Hebrews 9 and verse 27, there you find the appropriate scripture where you find that Jesus is the only qualifying and paying for redemption. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after these, the judgment. So man is going to be judged with one exception. Look at in verse 22. Now, same chapter, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So if your sin has not been paid by blood, then you have the judgment heading on to you. Now, when Jesus did this, when he paid it, now we move to the right to 1 Peter in chapter 1. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 20, you find here the wonderful redemption that we have in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. That is the only person that qualify to give his life. Remember, life is in the blood, said the book of Leviticus 11. Here it is. Jesus gave his blood for this. And here in verse 19 said, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without a spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in this last time for you. So this is due time. And the New Testament is due time for the practical salvation. And now comes in heaven the due time for the final salvation. So Jesus Christ has become the one who have paid for our salvation. But that was a payment, as remember Ephesians 1:13 said, it was a down payment. The Holy Spirit was sealing our life as a down payment. Now we have the book with all the sealings in heaven. The book of Revelation, in Revelation 5, going back to Revelation 5, and there in verse 1, when you find a book with the seven seals, was a book with the seals of all the names of the souls of every believer, and they were sealed there. They were not yet complete, the salvation. They were sealed with the down payment of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, until this point, until Revelation 5, has not yet claimed what he purchased. He purchased you and he purchased me, but he hath no claim to the Father, the divine purchase. So now in Revelation 5, John saw that moment in heaven and in vision, no, in reality, he saw the vision when that moment will take place. And look at in Revelation 5, verse 4, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst, beasts should read creatures, in the midst of the four creatures, and the midst of the elders stood the Lamb, as it has been slain, having seven horns. And that's what my title today, the seven-horned lamb, the seven horns and the seven eye, which are the seven spirit of God sent forth into the earth. And he came took he, Jesus, not the lamb, but Jesus, a man, took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Not yet open. Chapter 6 will open the book, but he took the book, and nobody say no. I was surprised. Nobody said, wait a minute, you do not qualify. God did not say that. He took the book from the hands of the Father. Now, here's the book, sealed seven times, and we're going to open the seals in chapter 6 and chapter 7, chapter 8. And in these books are the names of the believers sealed by the Holy Spirit. And he took the book. And so that's the due time. And so rather than calling due time, I asked the university if I can call the seven-horned lamb, because that's different than any lamb. Because that's what right here they say. And they say, well, nobody have used that title, but it's good. You can use it. And there's a title revealing then his work. Now, if you look in verse 8, the Bible says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odor, which are the prayers of the saints. So the people, they have prayed. There is an event in heaven that he saw it. No wonder in John Gospel, remember I said to you, in John Gospel 21, Jesus said, he will remain, John will remain until I come. And boys say, well, come on, he died. No. Remain means he will see the end. And revelation is the end. And he saw it in a vision. And now what he's seeing is the real merit of Jesus. If you go to 1 Timothy a little bit here, you find a flavor in this. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 and in verse 6. The Bible starts with the statement of Israel. There is one God. That's the statement from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to testify. And here's the word, due time. That's what I got the idea. Due time. See, it's not the mediation was done, but it was not finished on this earth. It's going to be finished in due time. So due time means redemption will be completed. And so the completion of that redemption is starting in Revelation chapter 5. And so from chapter 5 and verse 9, all the way to chapter 19, you will see a fight, not between Jesus and us. We are in his hand. Remember, he took the book in his hand. Between Jesus and Satan. The final fight between Jesus and Satan, you read it in Revelation chapter 5 and verses 9 all the way to chapter 19. Satan contested the case that Jesus qualified. See, he did not argue about the need of salvation. He argued about the qualification of Christ. And you will see the white horses come in and the yellow horses and the black horses. Each one has a meaning on salvation in a different way, trying to contest that Jesus is not qualifying, is not enough for salvation. And it's going to be fantastic to see in each case Satan defeated until chapter 19 closes with the King of Kings and glory on glory. And in chapter 20, boom, Jesus made the impact and Satan is gone. And John, you and I are studying this in a book, but John is seeing this. That must be spectacular. John must be so thankful that he was in the island of Patmos alone watching this. And that he was able to write it. What a blessing of God. So now I'm going to give glory to the rest of the chapter by sharing with you the four qualifications of Jesus. I'm going to get ahead about 19 chapters. And I'm going to share with you the four qualifications of Jesus. Why that he was able to take that seal book in his hand and hold it in his hand and open one by one the seals and develop until the very end of chapter 19. Now, Jesus had four titles, as you know, on the earth. And these four titles are the one who are identified here. First, Jesus, look at here in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1, the title of the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1 is very, very easy. Then the Bible says, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Go with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 3. Romans chapter 1 and verse 3. Concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David. And so Jesus is called the son of David, and Jesus is called the seed of David. Now, what that means, well, we need to go back to, we did something this morning to 2 Samuel chapter 7, please. If we go to 2 Samuel chapter 7, and we read verses 11 and 12, then we will see what that means being a son of David. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verses 11 and 12. And Uriah said unto David, the ark of Israel. This is not correct. It's chapter 7, verse 11. All right, I got it. I'm old, remember. Senior moment. All right, here it is. All right, verse 11. And chapter 7, verse 11, 2 Samuel. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused thee to rest from all thy enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee. Seed singular. No seeds. Thy seed, only one seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. So now when you read in Matthew 1:1, when you read in Romans 1:3, Jesus is from the seed of David, that means that he has the title of the throne. He's the king. So Jesus is the king. So Satan is going to contest all of these by coming in a white horse and so on. But Jesus is the king. That's his title. I'm the king. The king of the kingdom of David. The king of kings. The inherent kingdom of God is Jesus. Then the Bible said that Jesus, if you go back to Matthew's chapter 1 in verse 1, not only Jesus is the son of David, Jesus has another title. In Matthew chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible said the book of generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, and then said the son of Abraham. In other words, he has that title. He's the son of Abraham, all right? We need to go to Genesis chapter 12 then. When Abraham began to be established upon the earth. And in Genesis chapter 12, and we read verses 1 to 3, and that will help us to understand what means the son of David. And it's very, very important that we establish these record. It says, now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, the Jew people think that this is in reference to their riches and money, that they are rich and have money. Accidentally, I have a talk with the rabbi here in town in McDonald's. He walked in with the beard and the hat that he used. So I introduced myself. I said, you must be the rabbi here in town. Yeah, I said, I'm pastor, McDonald's pastor. How are you? And he was really shocked. And we were able to step outside in a little corner and talk a little bit. And I said, what about this reference in the scripture? You know, I have my iPhone, and boom, the scriptures come in. And he said, well, this is a reference that we, the Jew, are going to reign in this earth and have all the money in our hand. I said, that's a real lie. I'll tell you why. Because I bought the land that you cannot buy. Remember when we bought the land here? We bought the land four blocks from here. That land belonged to the synagogue. One of your guys in the board of directors of the city rezoned that little piece because of you, Jew, to get the land for you. But God established that that land is not Old Testament land, it's New Testament land. We bought it. Boy, he got a little irritated, but he said, well, but we bought it. Oh, you bought a piece of junk. We got the land. I was a little nasty, but don't give me that you had the riches. These refer to another riches, spiritual riches. Oh, he said, and that is when the Messiah will come, not when Jesus will come. Well, who is Jesus? I said, you have not read Isaiah. Jesus, the Messiah. So you see, the son of Abraham, it means the title of the land of Palestine. And all included in the royal grant to Abraham. God said to Abraham, you can read Romans 4, God said, you are the inheritor of the land. The land doesn't mean the world, means Palestine. And so Jesus is the inheritor of the land that God has established in Abraham. Now, no wonder he goes and pick up the seal. I wonder what John, when John saw Jesus alive in heaven, his eyes maybe blinkle all the time, you know, had a hope. Number three, the Bible called Jesus the Son of Man. If you go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 5, there is established this in Luke chapter 5 in verse 24. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sin. He said unto the sick a palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch or bed and go into thy house. And so has the title to the earth and the world. See, Jesus is the Son of Man. No other man is entitled to control the world. Hitler tried, Mussolini tried. This I'm talking in my times in the 40s. My mother used to say, oh, Mussolini here, Mussolini there, and Hitler. Those men were dreaming and controlling the world, but the only one who controlled the world is Jesus Christ. He is the Son of Man. He's the King of this creation. And then he is the Son of God called here in the scripture, and he is the ear of all things. I love Hebrews in chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews, where the Bible established the time and Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners had spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, so the last day of the universe, from the cross on, you see the things, spoken as by his Son, the Son of God, who hath appointed ear of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And so Jesus is the ear of all things, who he hath appointed ear of all things. There is no one thing in this universe that Jesus is not the king on it. And he's the controller. So when you go then to Revelation chapter 5, the beauty of this section to make yourself really comfortable on this, I made this review to say, yes, he was, they told me that I said previously, yes, he qualified. Not only he qualified, he's the only one who can qualify. And when you read here in verse 12, the Son of the believers, see, we are no longer on earth, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Remember in the Lord's Supper, you have to participate in the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. Worthy, and the only reason we participate in the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner is because who is worthy? Christ, and who made us worthy into that. See how beautiful. And so he said, and every creature, verse 13, which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor. They hear John saying this, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him seated upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. See, the Lamb is glorified in heaven. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that lived forever and ever. Now, this is the second time this week, last week, second time, they had somebody tell me something. Somebody called me and said that they hear 2 weeks ago el cuento of Joseph. Remember, I preach on Joseph. It's not a cuento. Cuento means storyteller. It's not a story. Joseph is history, no story. So I was able to challenge the person. But this rabbi said to me, I said, have you ever read the book of Revelation? And he stood up very reverently. Get to my hair. I thought he was going to punch me. He get to my hair and said, it is a cuento. spoke Spanish. I never knew. It is a cuento. Now, a cuento is a story. It's just a narration to enjoy yourself. Like you buy a magazine and you read the magazine. He said, that's what the Christians base their life, in a cuento. All right. What is a cuento? It's a history and no cuento. What in Revelation 5 is the reality that what happened in heaven is going to happen? And I said, very simple. For 2,000 years, we have the Church of Christ. Is that a cuento? That is not a cuento. That's a reality. I have a church. In this town, there are 37 churches. Is that a cuento? That's a reality. Don't tell me that the Messiah who started these churches is not going to be in heaven. Oh, the Messiah is going to be, but it's not going to be that Jesus. What do you want to be? Hitler? Had to be a Jew. The Bible says had to be from the tribe of Judah. I say, I agree. But cannot be Jesus. And he was really getting upset when you mentioned Jesus. A lady who visited here from Jacale Box, we have these outlets where we witness, said to Camille, I will go to this church, but that pastor made Jesus the Messiah. Boy, I got a good sermon. I feel good about it. When a Jew tells me that I have preached, and after they hear it, they saw the Messiah. But chapter 5 is the Messiah in glory, revealing these four titles, Son of David, Son of Abraham, Son of Man, and Son of God. And now he's exercising his power. He's asking permission to nobody. He took the book in his hand. No, even said, may I have it? No, he took it in his hand, and he's honored and glory. This is your Savior. And we will not be afraid of the world. We will not be afraid of tomorrow, because he is my Savior. I will have difficulties, yes. I will have unknown things to happen, yes. But he's my Savior. And he's holding me inside the book one day, and he will never let me go. Are we blessed? Thank you, Father, for this review on Revelation 5. Thank you for my teachers who are able to talk to me honestly and see more than what I saw before. And I think if we look at it again, we'll see more. Your Bible is so beautiful. And our security in heaven is so beautiful. Because it is not secure for what I have done. It is secure for what the Christ of heaven have done. And he's there waiting for me. No wonder he said, I go and prepare a place for you. This is what he's doing. He's holding my name so that I can be redeemed completely. Thank you for the beautiful exhortation tonight to have encouragement. Encourage, in spite of all the difficulties that we face in life, in spite of all the unknown things, and sometimes we pray for things and never happen, and looks how long we're going to pray. Lord, we're going to keep on praying, because if you are the one who care for me in heaven, you are the one who care for me here. We trust you, and we love you for what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You have the writing, and I got the emails of some people. Or if you have no email, I send you the whole package, and remind me, because sometimes I'm busy, and remind me with an email in the week, and I get your email.